118. It's one of those Psalms of Ascents. And I wanted to poke at a couple verses here in Psalm 118 because they are Sukkot verses. If you look at verse 25 and 26, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And then it says, Hosanna, O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. And then the Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai verse is in Psalm 118. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. And so we have some important deals here in Psalm 118. As it is read on the Feast of Tabernacles, on the last great day of the feast, especially during the water ceremony. But if you back up in the chapter, it starts with the chesed word, which is loving kindness. As you all know, give thanks to the Lord for his tov, his chesed endures forever, his love endures forever, his love endures forever, his love endures forever, is keeps being repeated over and over there. So chesed is love or loving kindness and mercy and compassion word, right? So then in verse 14, though, it's interesting, this psalm is read during Sukkot with our Jewish friends all over the world. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become to me Yeshua. If you read in the Hebrew, he has become to me Yeshua, which means he has become to me salvation, right? And so we know the salvation word. And then on verse 15, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand, you know, is Mashiach, Messiah. And the shouts of joy there is from the song that we started our shouts, our Sukkot celebration Sunday night. We started with shouts for joy. Paul Wilbur's singing this verse for Sukkot, right? Verse 21 is a thanksgiving. I will give you thanks for you answered me. You have become to me, Yeshua again, salvation. But Sukkot is a thanksgiving celebration. So in verse 22, we have the big one, the stone the builders rejected. Now, right in the middle of all this chapter, we have the Evan the builders rejected. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone or capstone. The Lord has done this and is marvelous in our eyes. This verse is Yeshua quotes this verse to himself in the Gospels. He is the stone the builders rejected and has become the most important stone. As you know, we've looked into the stones all through the Bible before, but that also is in Psalm 118. It's a powerful chapter concerning Yeshua. And then in verse 24, we have another famous song that we know. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And Sukkot had to be kept with joy, remember? And then we go back to where we started here, which is the verses that were used at the triumphal entry that concluded the 69 weeks of Daniel, remember, at Palm Sunday. And so at Palm Sunday, they were doing Feast of Tabernacles verses because these verses are used when the king comes. And so that was when Yeshua got to be king for a moment, the only time he ever has still to this day on earth gotten to be king. And so we have these verses. Now, these will be correctly applied. They weren't incorrectly applied then because the king was there. But they will be completely, completely correctly applied in these last days when Israel, Zechariah 12, says this verse, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, which is in Zechariah 12 and also in the Gospels in Matthew 24, etc. So Psalm 118 is powerful throughout. And then you come to the end of it is give thanks to the Lord again. Right now, if you notice, though, with bows in hand, verse 27, join in the festival processional up to the horns of the altar. That's the water ceremony of the Feast of Tabernacles. And so when we kept our processional last Sunday night, and I was carrying the water pitcher, this was the water ceremony that we were reenacting, and this comes straight out of, once again, Psalm 118. So just touching on this for a moment, because it's all about and all fulfilled by Yeshua. Verse 27 has also the light ceremony in it and the processional. It was great Sunday night with all the people coming out with the banners and all and us going up to the, as it were, to the throne, welcoming Messiah back. Amen. So another couple points here I'll hit on today is, you know, some of you may have seen me waving the lulav Sunday night, a real one from Israel. And I used to have one, but I don't know how to get one very easily anymore without spending a lot of money. But anyway, it is four parts. It is the myrtle branch, the palm branch, the willow branch, and that little yellow lemon looking thing, which is an etrot or citron. And you put all these together, and this isn't commanded in the Bible, but the species are commanded. And this is used as a wave offering for the harvest festival in the fall with Sukkot. And now what I wanted to mention here is that all four of these species only grow where there's a lot of water. It is used during the water ceremony, the water of life, which is Yeshua, as he cried out in a loud voice. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. These citrons were being waved. This lulav was being waved when he cries out in a loud voice. And all four species can only grow where there's a ton of water. Now, the rabbis say that the four species represent the four letters of the name of God, the tetragrammaton, the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, here. So that's just a cool thing that the rabbis say. So now you know everything. And also, we have the fact that there's three pilgrimage feasts, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. You have to keep them in Jerusalem at the temple. And the rabbis say that as there are three pilgrimage feasts, there'll be three temples, and then Mashiach comes. Well, we have two temples so far, and Mashiach has not come. So what do we need? We need the third temple. So, isn't that cool? And that is correct. There will be three temples, and then Mashiach will come, not the first time, but the second time, and not as the suffering servant, as the ruling king. All right, so let's go to another point here. The Feast of Ingathering prophetically represents something. Prophetically, it represents in the millennium, Yeshua will gather all the Jewish people of the world back to Israel, the Holy Land. And now some people teach that before Messiah can come, every Jew in the world has to move back. That's not going to happen, and that isn't true. A lot of them move back, but then there's verses where the Lord, after the millennium starts, actually gathers the rest of them. So who goes now is the remnant. Who stays out will get gathered later, all right? And so the Feast of Ingathering kind of represents, once again, the millennium and the ingathering of all the Jewish people back to the land. They wouldn't fit today, but they will in that day, because the borders will be back to the Berit Avraham, the Abrahamic covenant borders, which you can read in Genesis 15 and all. Okay, so let's talk about another point here. On the Feast of Ingathering and Simchat Torah both, the sukkah booths are down and the menorahs are down. And in Israel, the celebration is over. And so the rabbis teach that on this Shabbat day, the eighth day, being another Shabbat, that all that is left is the Word. All that is left is Bible. And so I like to say that all that is left is time to soak. And you know me, I like to soak. Soak in the presence of God. Now, it's interesting. We know that Yeshua was born on the first day of Sukkot. But in Judaism, you don't become an Israelite on your birthday. Nakon? When do you become an Israelite and get named? When you are circumcised, because that is a sign of the Abrahamic covenant. And so Yeshua was born on the first day of Sukkot in a sukkah booth. Some people call them mangers. But then he goes up to the temple, because you have to circumcise on the eighth day. It doesn't matter if it's Pesach, it doesn't matter if it's Shavuot, it doesn't matter if it's a Shabbat day. Every male child gets circumcised on the eighth day, and there's no exceptions for it. So here's Miriam coming up with Yeshua on the eighth day to the temple during the Feast of Ingathering, and gets circumcised. Now, on this day, he receives his name. And we know his name, as it says in Psalm 118, is Yeshua, or salvation in English. But what does then John say about Yeshua? He says, in the beginning, see, remember, on the Feast of Ingathering, the rabbis teach that all that's left is the Word. On this day, all that is left is the Word. This baby was brought to the temple. And John says, in the beginning was the Word. and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in Revelation 19, his name is the Word of God. And so on the Word Day, Yeshua becomes an Israelite and receives his name, and one of his names is the Word. And so he is a perfect fulfillment of all the things involved, which is a lot of things involved with these holy days, especially Sukkot. Revelation 19:13, his name is, Amen, the Word of God. All right, so as we have mentioned, the water is an important part of the ceremony. I'll mention a point here. I got 5 minutes yet. In Israel, there are three types of water. Three types of water. In America, we have bottled water, tap water, and we have a lot of kinds of water here. We have tea with mold in it and all sorts of things. Kombucha, something. But anyway, in Israel, there are cisterns. And these are holes in the rock that fill up with rainwater, and then it sits there for the rest of the year, and you use out of it. And there are wells, which are dug holes in the ground that fill up with water and hopefully stay wet, and you get water out of the wells. But then there is living water, which are springs bubbling up into eternal life, as Yeshua compared himself. I am the spring of living water. So there's three kinds of water, and springs are best and wells are second. Cisterns usually had spiders in them. When you're on the tunnel tour underneath Jerusalem there, you can see old cisterns and they have water in it, and it doesn't look bad. But living water is best, right? Now, in Jeremiah 2:13, God summarizes all the sins of Israel into two kinds of sins, two different sins. And it says, you have forsaken me, the spring of living water. And Yeshua is that spring of living water. You have forsaken the spring of living water, and instead, you have dug cisterns that hold no water. So here you have two types of sin. Now, one sin is the rejection of Hashem. The other sin is replacing him with something else. It's two sins. And Jeremiah, tough book to read, Yirmiyahu, but rejection, replacement. Two sins. And I tell you, the world is completely filled with these two sins today. They have rejected the truth, and they have replaced it with the lie. So those are the two kinds of sins that you get from the idea of the water of life. All right, so there's some great quotes about Sukkot in John chapter 7. John 7 through 9 all happened at the Feast of Tabernacles. And so these are some of the most intense chapters in your Bible. There are many, but in 7:37 is our most popular one for us at this time of year, if any man thirst. And so as I say, if you want to keep Sukkot, you got to be thirsty. And we need to be people that are thirsty for God in these days. So in 7:46, though, when they were asked about, why didn't you arrest this man? The guard said, well, let's see, why didn't we arrest him? Well, let me tell you why we didn't. No man has ever spoken like this before. The anointing was so powerful that it just slammed people. No one has ever spoke like this man before. You got to love that. Amen. And in chapter 8, then, there is the woman caught in adultery. Let the man who is without sin cast the first stone. Okay, and so they all picked up stones and stoned her, right? No, they all left. And she left too. And so this is a picture of Messiah in the mode of he is the one who can forgive sin. All right, and that which means he's God. So then in 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. During the light ceremony, all the menorahs are lit in Jerusalem, and he says, I am the light. Or is light. Menorah is the word for lampstand. It's made with the word light. Okay, in 8:32, here's a classic verse that you hear all the time, even on secular TV. The truth will set you free. Isn't that an amazing verse in a world that has gone to the lie? The truth will set you free. Freedom. All right. And then, oh, and how cool is this? In 8:48, he says, before Abraham was, I am. before Avraham Hayah Eye. Before he was, I am. And then they picked up stones to stone him and says, what sin are you stoning me for? And they said, we're not stoning you for any of these miracles. We're stoning you because you made yourself out to be God. And that context starts with, just tell us plainly, are you the Messiah or are you God? And he goes, I already told you, but you did not listen, which was at the last day of the feast. So then he says, before Abraham was, Aye, I am. And now they're going to stone him because he answered their question. See how cool the drama is there. But that verse also, before that in the chapter, he says, you do not believe that I am. Now, none of your translations will say that correctly, except the New Messianic Bible out here does. They all say, you do not believe that I am he that was to come, or you do not believe that I am him. In the text, you read it, you do not believe that I am. Is that powerful or what? And then later in the text, it says, before Abraham was, I am, which is outside of the fourth dimension. Praise God. May we all be soon. Amen. Okay. Chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Hallelujah for that. All right. We can finish this up with the last book of the Bible, how it finishes itself up. We have in Revelation 14, and there is verses here about the end times, but I don't have time to talk about the verses like 9 through 11 is about the tribulation. And then in verse 14, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, and he had a crown of gold, and he had a sharp sickle. And it says, take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. This is the rapture, if you want to say it that way. This is the gathering together of Lord's people to be with him. And immediately after this harvest, now remember, Sukkot is a harvest festival, and the Bible ends with a harvest. Yeshua is the great farmer, and he harvests his people at the end of the age. And then there is another angel, and in this angel, take your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of grape from the earth's vine, because they're ripe, into the great winepress of God's wrath. There is rapture, and then there is wrath on the remaining people. And so that is how our Bible ends. When you go over to chapter 19, we see the wedding of the Lamb has come. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come. And this is why we say Sukkot is a wedding festival. The Bible doesn't actually say Sukkot represents the wedding of Messiah, but in so many pictures it does, because the millennium is the wedding feast and the millennium is the Feast of Tabernacles. And so they have to say Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai, which is only a term used in Judaism for two things. One, to welcome the groom to the wedding, and one, to welcome King Messiah to Israel. In this case, it will be both. They will welcome their king, and he is also the bridegroom. We're headed to a Jewish wedding. Get ready. And if you've been to a Jewish wedding, they're wild. Very wild. And so some people think we're a little wild around here. We're just getting ready. We don't want to be caught off guard here. So you all need to be in shape. You all need to be able to do Israeli dancing. You all need to be able to jump, run, skip, dance, spin, jump, shout some more. And when you get tired, jump higher, shout louder, run faster, skip higher, jump, shout, run, skip, leap, twirl, spin. Are you getting it? It's a party. All right? And King David will be there. I'm going to teach him some new moves. No, I just... But the party has been talked about and prophesied in the Bible now for thousands of years. Ever since Abraham started it, when God started with Abraham and the Abrahamic covenant, all this history has taken place. We got the thousands of years with Israel's history. We have 2,000 years with church history. And now it's the time to favor Zion. This whole thing is coming to a close. And the one place you want to have both of your feet is in Jerusalem and in this book. There is nowhere else for you to be, especially because how intense these last days are going to be. Amen. Yavarekha Adonai v'yishmerekha. Ye'ir Adonai panavaleka v'chunecha. Yisau Adonai panavaleka v'yoseim lecha shalom b'shem. Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar HaShalom. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah, who has become to you salvation. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.